Good morning. It's good to be with you. When I was in high school, I was in a youth group like ours here, VQ, and our leader led a summer small group with the bunch of us seniors who had just graduated, just like our youth pastor Chris Herning does. She wanted us to have a place to talk about all the transitions that we were making. She also wanted to help us take responsibility for our own spiritual lives and to keep being young adults who could keep their eyes on Jesus and not be shaken when we transitioned into new academic or trade school or gap year environments. As we worked through different passages together, I was particularly struck by the letter of Paul to the Philippians, where after going through a whole litany of his achievements and privileges, he says in chapter 3, verse 14, "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." What I noticed was that Paul traded in every advantage that had gotten him to that point in life in order to step into the next thing, the call, the invitation that God had for him. He had to let go of one thing to reach out for the next one. He couldn't go into his ministry of bringing the good news of the kingdom to the non-Jewish Roman world while carrying the weight of all his achievements and status. He couldn't value them so much that they held him back. That was an important message for me to hear as I was at that scary point of letting go of the good stuff from high school and all the comforts of being at home with friends and reaching out for the new thing. My new thing was this college, a two-day drive away where I knew nobody, but where I felt very sure I was supposed to attend. Now, I like adventure as much as the next person, but that was crazy. These verses kept ringing in my head, though. Forget what is behind, strain toward what is ahead, you're being called onward. This same message comes to all of us who want to follow Jesus, not as one love among many, but as the number one priority. And it comes multiple times over the course of our lives. He walks by us and says, "Come, follow me." And we either do or we don't. But if we do, it almost always means letting go of something and reaching out for something. In a month and a little, I will be letting go of 20 plus years of being a pastor on the staff at Evanston Vineyard. I've been a pastor's wife for longer than that, of course. But despite what some folks think, that is not a job title. I'm Steve's wife, but I'm a pastor because I myself was called to care for God's people. I'm letting go of the job of pastor here at the end of August because I have a conviction that Jesus has a new assignment for me in the next years of my life, these sweet elder years. The world calls it retirement. I'd like to think that means Jesus is putting new tires on my vehicle because mine are a little worn. But then I will continue on pastoring, but in a different way. There are words to write and stories to tell. There is music he wants me to create. There are prayers to be prayed. And most crucially, there are grandchildren to love and hug and encourage and tell the family stories of faith and persistence, hardship and blessing to. Every child needs, as they say, roots and wings. Grandparents help a lot with both. But this is a sermon, so I want to say a little more about this thing of letting go in order to be able to reach out with both hands. The very first person whose faith God points out to us all through the Bible as an example is Abraham. God gives Abraham these instructions in Genesis 12:1-3. Leave your land, your relatives, your father's home. Go to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing, and through you every family on earth will be blessed. Abram had to let go of everything secure. Home, inheritance, extended family, friends, and anything unnecessary in order to reach out for the thing God was calling him to. The blessing was moving out in front of Abraham, not behind him. To get it, he has to go. When the angel came to Mary, Jesus' mother, and told her God's big plan for her life, Mary had to choose to let go of everything stable in her life before she knew how it was going to work out, including all the impossible bits, and apparently having a few impossible things in the picture doesn't bother God at all. Mary didn't have to change locations, but to respond to God's invitation, she had to step into a very different future than the ordinary small-town life she had imagined for herself. For the Apostle Peter to get to Jesus when he was in the boat, he had to get out of the boat. He had to walk over the water to Jesus. This is how it is with the life of following God. Through the course of our life, we have moments where we recognize that God is calling to us, giving new instructions, painting a picture for us of something ahead that's for us. But to get there, we have to let go of here, and that's scary. But here's the thing. The promise from God, and I will be with you, sits waiting for us on the road out there to the new thing. That's where we feel his presence. That's where we experience the Holy Spirit resting on us. That's where we are changed for the good, not behind, ahead. Now, I love being a pastor here. I love being with all of you, being deeply in your lives. I love praying with you and praying for you. I love getting to speak like this to you. I'm very aware of the feeling of loss at stepping away from the privilege I've had of being part of your lives in this way. But God's calling me on again. Back in the late summer when I was on a personal retreat, I was praying and I got such a clear picture. I was driving down the highway in a car with Jesus, as you do, and he said, "There's an exit coming up and I want you to take it. And when you get to the bottom of the ramp, there's a rest area with that 'Welcome to this new state' sign. Stop there and take a rest, then take that road." And he pointed it out. It looked more like a two-lane highway up through a cutting like you'd see in New Hampshire or Colorado. And after a ways, up on the side of the hill, I saw a little house, and he said, "Go up there and take a look." So I did. There were two rockers like you'd see at Cracker Barrel on the front porch. And through the picture window, I could see a table that held an old-fashioned typewriter and a Bible. And next to the table, a guitar on a stand. And then the picture ended. Now, I'm not a great vision interpreter, but that one wasn't too hard. So I know what I'm reaching out for with both hands, and I'm excited. I'm not disappearing. I'll still be saying hello and listening to everybody's stories and corny jokes and admiring new babies and kids in their Sunday best and celebrating birthdays and graduations and sports wins and college acceptances and, yes, retirements. and if you ask me to pray for you, I certainly will. But carrying the weight of the church in the way that a staff pastor does is not mine to do anymore. That weight is already moving onto other shoulders. My job is to strain toward what is ahead, to race toward the prize for which God is calling me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Some of you are in your sweet spot right now. You feel the blessing of God on what you're doing, even when it's hard. I love seeing that. Others of you are getting the inklings of the sound of God whispering in your ear, "Come, follow me." Maybe you don't know where yet. Keep listening, and Jesus will give you at least the first steps to take. He doesn't always paint the whole picture for you right away. If that's true for you, something you can do in this time when we're all kind of stuck at home is ask yourself two questions. What's behind me that I'm still hanging on to because it gives me security or confidence or status that I will need to let go of to reach out for this new invitation from you, Jesus? And the second question is, Jesus, show me the first step I need to take to move toward this new thing. And once you know, turn your face toward the path God is laying out before you and start moving. And one more thing. I think that as a church family, we are going to find that God is calling us forward into some new things. Just like all this enforced quarantine time has changed us individually and perhaps made us think, when I get out of the house finally, I am ready to start some new things. So as a church, I have such a sense that Jesus is starting to whisper once again, "Come, follow me." And that will probably mean letting go of some familiar things so we can reach out for the new things with both hands. If that happens, we don't have to be afraid. But instead, we can remember that the presence of God and the blessing of God is always out ahead of us on the road. And if we, as Chicago's mayor keeps admonishing us, keep moving, we will experience being right in the middle of God's work in this world.